and your appreciation on our for our ministry here. It is a joy to minister to you on every Sunday and every day. And we get back much more than we give. That's what God promises, doesn't he? And you all have been kind to us since the first day we arrived here. And it is a joy to be here. And we're thankful to have the privilege to serve Jesus and this church. Well, it requires possibly the greatest anointing to be able to preach with the smell of food in the air. But if God will give me that anointing today, I'm going to preach his word. If you have your Bibles, look in the first epistle of Peter. Now, I'm turning to a New Testament text, but I want to preach today about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant. We're in this series on the person, the work, and ministry of the Spirit. Last week, we talked about the Spirit of life. Today, I want to talk to you about the Spirit of prophecy. And this passage gives us insight into the prophets and the prophetic relationship with the Holy Spirit. We'll begin reading in verse 3. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. In other words, the Holy Spirit in the prophets was ministering to them of the finished work of the cross to come and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we now who have received the Holy Spirit may understand the full work of God in the whole context of Scripture. Well, hallelujah. What an amazing passage of Scripture. Let's pray and ask God for wisdom this morning and for his grace to hear his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, I ask you in the next few moments that you'll let every hindrance, every predilection of our flesh, every barrier fall before the mighty moving of your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us today. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that this same Holy Spirit that filled the prophets would fill this church. In Jesus' name, amen. So often we only see one part of Scripture or one verse taken out of context, and it often gives us a very twisted or a misbegotten view of what's actually happening in a situation. It reminds me of a story of a Sunday school teacher of a group of Sunday school students. And this Sunday school teacher asked her students to choose one verse of Scripture and then bring some object to illustrate that verse of Scripture. And on the next week, one little girl brought a mason jar full of water. And she said, well, what does this mean? And the girl said, well, Jesus said that he was the water of life. She said, very good. And then one little boy brought a rock. And he said, Jesus said, build your house upon a rock. And then another little girl brought a piece of bread, and she said, well, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And one little boy bought an egg, and the teacher said, well, what in the world does the egg mean? And he turned to the girl next to him and crashed the egg on top of her head. And he said, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. It's easy to get the whole thing messed up. And you know, so often we get the idea, I believe, that the Holy Spirit was invented at Pentecost. The idea that where the Holy Spirit happened almost by spontaneous combustion. But we came to see last week that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. That He is the Spirit of the living God. And He is the Spirit that brooded over the face of the waters at creation. That there was never a time when there wasn't the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit was active personally in the work of creation. That it was the Spirit of God breathed into the nostrils of Adam. And Adam became a living soul. We also saw that the Holy Spirit was active in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead according to Romans 1:23. And the same Holy Spirit, the same breath of life, was breathed into the upper room on the day of Pentecost and again brought to life the church of the Lord Jesus Christ by the creative wind of the Holy Spirit. But we so often get the idea that the Holy Spirit was kind of silent during the Old Covenant period. But nothing could be further from the truth. The Holy Spirit was active, alive, moving powerfully throughout the Old Testament. We understand, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prophecy. That same Holy Spirit which gave the prophets insight into the coming of Messiah Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, that they searched, according to 1 Peter, they searched what time or what would be the character of the time when Messiah Emmanuel should appear. That same Spirit that gave them such authority and such revelation was the essence of prophetic ministry. Nathan the prophet coming to David the king after his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah the Hittite. Nathan received that message through the revelation of the Spirit. He saw the sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that same revelation that he saw by the Holy Spirit gave him the authority to speak before the king. And the king heard not the word of Nathan, but the word of God. Now that authority would not have been possible had it not been for the revelation which the prophet had received by the Holy Spirit. Therefore we see the connection between revelation and authority. When the ancient prophet spoke, whether it concerned the soon to come Messiah, or whether it concerned the fall of Jerusalem, the Babylonian captivity, or the return from exile, when the prophet spoke, they spoke with authority. Because these were not guesses. These were not hunches. These were not shots in the dark. These things were revealed to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were discerners of their time. They understood what was going on. They understood who God was. And they were discerners of the burden of God for their generation. In other words, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of the prophets is the spirit of revelation, and it is the spirit of authority, because these were men and women who had saturated themselves in the Spirit of God and were able to discern the Word of God for themselves, for their people, and proclaim it with authority. Now, in the message of the prophets, we also gain insight into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There was a twofold message of the prophets. Now, there's a vast multiplicity of prophetic ministry, things they did. They spoke of personal accountability. They spoke of national sin and judgment of God. But the great twofold message of the prophets, one, they spoke of the coming of the Messiah. The central issue of what all the prophets were about was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was Messiah Emmanuel, the Christ of God. If you would, I want you to look at Revelation 19 and 10. John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos turns to this man that he assumes is some form of deity. And John says, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, the very character and essence of every true prophetic message must be the testimony of Jesus. Joel, in his prophecy in Joel 2, gives an insight beyond the coming of Messiah. He says that there will be a twofold blessing for the people of God. Beyond, not only will Messiah come, which is the great blessing, the coming of the Messiah, but then he says, after this, and it shall come to pass after this, after the coming of the Messiah, there will also be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and this spirit of prophecy shall be poured out upon all flesh. In other words, Joel says that there would be a time when the Spirit of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the testimony would no longer be reserved for some small select group of people whom God handpicked. But that same Spirit is going to be poured out on anyone, despite age, despite gender, despite social standing, despite race or ethnicity. Anyone who is willing to receive the Holy Spirit, this same prophetic spirit will be poured out upon them, and they shall, what? Prophesy. If you remember in the second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost when the 120 received the Holy Spirit, it is to this passage in Joel 2 that Peter makes reference when he said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel, and it shall come to pass after this that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your handmaidens and your men servants and the old men and young men, they shall receive the Holy Spirit and they shall prophesy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now let's look at what we've got here. First of all, the same Spirit which we call the Holy Spirit was the Spirit who gave the prophets insight into the coming of Jesus. It was also the same Spirit which gave them the witness and the revelation and authority. It made them discerners of their time. It also made them able to discern the burden of God. They knew which way the wind was blowing spiritually because they themselves were filled with the Holy Spirit. It also gave them a witness to Emmanuel, God with us, that is Jesus of Nazareth. But it also gave them witness to the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Christ and Spirit-filled living in the light of the message of the full gospel should make us a prophetic body in the generation in which we live. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about simply words of prophecy manifested occasionally in worship service or in charismatic prayer lines, although there's a place for that. 1 Corinthians 15 is clear. We should not despise prophesying. And that's not the essence, though, of what being a prophetic community is really about in the generation in which we live. The essence of being a prophetic community in the generation in which we live is that we are able as people to discern right from wrong. That we are able to discern sin from righteousness. We are able to discern how God feels about us and how He feels about our generation. And that we're able to understand with prophetic insight what is happening around us, what it means and how God feels about it. And that we're able to be spokesmen for that to our generation. I had a mentor in ministry for which I'm forever grateful. As a young preacher, retired Methodist pastor, took me under his wings. Spirit-filled man. He was more Pentecostal than most Church of God preachers I knew. Ken Callahan. We were sitting around one day, and we were watching Billy Graham on television. And he started laughing. He said, you know, many, many years ago, Ken was an older man when I was a younger man. He's gone on to be with Jesus now. Dancing around the throne of God. Hallelujah. Ken said, when I was a young boy, a young minister, he said, I went to a very liberal seminary in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, I remember one of my professors one day. This was when Billy Graham was just starting his ministry, only coming to national prominence. And he said, one of my liberal seminary professors at this very liberal seminary in Atlanta, Georgia, the initials are, I'm not going to say it. Maybe it's gotten better, so I don't want to ruin its reputation. I will say the president of our seminary graduated from this one. That gives you a few clues. Ken said he had a professor stand up and mocked Billy Graham. He said, Billy Graham stands up and says, my Bible says, and he laughed and he said, that is a completely outdated phrase for modern preaching. And that liberal seminary professor said, I predict that in 20 years nobody will know who Billy Graham is. Well, that seminary professor has died and gone to perdition. And Billy Graham has covered this world with the gospel. Because Billy Graham discerned by the Spirit that a lost and wayward generation who had seen their foundations pulled from underneath them, who didn't know which way was up and which way was down, and was lost and confused and destitute and damned, were longing for someone to stand up and say, I know the way, and His name is Jesus Christ, and to declare it with authority, thus says the Lord. That is a prophetic ministry. Now, someone might say Billy Graham is not a prophet. Well, listen, that's a prophetic word. Let me tell you this. Hear this. Every time you declare the whole counsel of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to a generation that hears that word, that is a word of prophecy. Every time the church lives a holy life before its generation, that is prophetic. We are called to be a prophetic church. We are called to understand how God feels about things. We're called to understand how God feels about our nation and generation. We are called to feel the burden of God. That's the spirit of prophecy. And the authority which says Jesus Christ is the answer for our generation, that's prophetic utterance. And the church that could stand up together corporately in its generation and say, let every man do whatever he wants. If money is your God, serve it. If your career is your God, bow to it. If the love and pleasure and approval of men is important to you more so than your worship of God, then seek it. But as for me and this church and my house, we will serve the Lord and no other. That is a prophetic church, and that is a prophetic witness to this generation. And that church is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that church is a prophetic instrument in a corporate sense. That doesn't deny the individual gifts of prophecy. But that church is a corporately a prophetic instrument under the anointing of God. Why? Because it has the spirit of the prophets. It has the spirit of revelation. It has the spirit of authority, the message of the prophets, the testimony of Jesus. Jesus is here. And it's got the power of the prophets, which is the Holy Spirit. The second way in which the Holy Spirit is manifested in the Old Covenant, and that is in charismatic power. The Holy Spirit manifested in power and miracles in the Old Testament era. Charismatic, gift-empowered, touched by God ministry. That is, the Church of God didn't start that. Amen? We didn't think it up. Now, there are three ways in which the charismatic presence of the Holy Spirit through Old Testament ministries is manifested. First of all, is in discernment and judgment. Samuel was the prophet that overlapped the rule and reign of Saul, the first king of Israel, and David, the second king of Israel. Samuel was commissioned by God to hear the word of the Lord. He was commissioned by God to discern the heart of Saul. At the beginning of his ministry, to anoint him as king. And Saul was placed on the throne because of the discernment, the wisdom and understanding that Samuel the prophet had of the mind of God on the matter. When Samuel spoke, thus saith the Lord, there was no vote. There was no discussion. Everybody in the nation knew that God had spoken. The surest testimony of the spiritual weakness of the contemporary church is our inability corporately to be able to say, this is the mind of God. We have somehow misplaced our ability to discern and judge. And as a result, The modern church has become reeds in the wind, tossed to and fro. Now, almost unable to discern truth from error. Truth from baloney. Never have more people been given and been giving words from the Lord, and never has there been such a famine for the word of the Lord. We're so caught up in charismatic parlor games that we don't discern the mind of God anymore in the modern Pentecostal church. But when Samuel spoke, it says when Samuel spoke that none of his words fell to the ground. Preaching in the Spirit is as different from preaching in the flesh as speaking is from silence. It is a completely different thing. And that necessarily requires judgment and discernment. You want to pray for me? Do you want to pray? I'll tell you how to pray. Pray that your pastor hears from God. Pray that your pastor has the burden of the Lord. Pray that your pastor is able to discern His word for us. Pray that he is able to judge the spirit of this age and understand what's going on around us and how God feels about it, and to declare it without the fear of men's faces. Charismatic power in the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was not just discernment and judgment, but wisdom and worship. You know, we don't often think of the Old Testament as being about charismatic worship. Again, we think we invented it. Hey, people have been called holy rollers a lot longer, but a long time before we ever got here. Amen? The fact of the matter is, the Old Testament is filled with examples of beautiful, joyful, spontaneous, open-hearted worship, of giving, of people just being given up into the arms of worship, being swept up in it, caught up in it, abandoned in love and worship to God. Just read the book of Psalms. It's David under the anointing of God pouring out expressions of worship and praise that have not been equaled in 4,000 years. You can pick any modern tune you want to. None of them equal the stuff David was singing and writing and playing and living and dancing. The power of the Holy Spirit for wisdom, for worship, is absolutely indispensable. If I cannot preach apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then how can we as a people worship apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Really worship. I don't mean sing songs and play instruments and clap our hands and mouth words. I mean worship in spirit and in truth. It cannot be done apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also manifested under the Old Covenant in signs and wonders. The ministries of Moses. Tell me Moses wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. The parting of the waters. Elijah and Elisha. Others throughout the Old Testament are manifest proof that wherever the Holy Spirit is in power, signs and wonders will follow. Now, signs and wonders are not all we're about. Don't ever get it in your mind that we worship the miracles of God. We don't worship the miracles of God. We worship the God of miracles. But by the same token, we are unapologetically, without a blush, a Pentecostal presence in this community. And we believe that God is the God who hears and answers prayer with miraculous power. And we're going to declare that without apology in this sophisticated city, in this affluent city. We're going to say that your money will not buy you a miracle. That you cannot, with power and political pull, get things moved. That only God is able to make a way where there is no way. And we're going to pray for the sick, and we're going to believe God for healing. And we're going to see it with our eyes, because God is a God of miracles, and where His Spirit is, there is liberty. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, those signs and wonders, we don't dictate to God. But we do have the authority in the name of Jesus to go before Him and make our petitions known. And we believe that He will hear and manifest Himself in power. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All these things may be summarized in one word, and that is revival. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of revival. The spirit of revival in the Old Testament happened under the leadership of men like Josiah, who rediscovered God's word. Men like Hezekiah, who determined after several generations of sinful kings that he would return the people into the presence of God. There was conviction, a deep awareness of personal sin, a deep awareness of corporate national sin, renewed faith in God's word, repentance. Can we even say that word anymore in the modern church? And cleansing. Sacrificial faith. That is to say, they believed that the shed blood would remove their sin. And there was always in that revival a return of liberty and joy. That was not about legalism, but about freedom from sin. Freedom in the Spirit. Man, we need that. When the Holy Spirit comes, there is always this sense of awe. There's a sense and a renewed awareness of the holiness of God. You can't manufacture it, substitute it in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to be in a church. That sounds like a football game during worship. Now, I'm all about being exuberant in our worship and praise. And I wish the lid was off of this place. I wish some of you would let go and abandon yourself in worship and not care what anybody else thinks. On the other hand, I've been in some churches that were just loud and rowdy. But there was no sense of the holy presence of God. They had learned the techniques to motivate and inspire people to move and sing and shout, but there was no holy presence of God. I'm telling you that there is perfect unity when the holy presence of God comes down and the people of God worship in spirit and in truth without fear, abandoned in His presence. When the Holy Spirit comes in power, there's always a renewed sense of God's holiness and an awe that fills both the people and the church and the community around them. I saw this. Many years ago, I was preaching in she looked probably 50 years old. But in truth, she was probably in her mid-30s. She had just lived a hard life. This lady came and sat down in the back of the church. Many people knew her from the community as a woman of poor reputation. That's as far as I'll go. And the whole time I was preaching, I watched her crying. And when I gave the invitation, she got out of her seat and walked to the altar and stood there with her head down and tears streaming, to give her heart to Jesus. She told me later she had not been in church since she was a baby. Her mother was a prostitute. Her father was a drug addict. And her grandmother took her to church one time when she was a kid, but she didn't remember it. She said she'd been under conviction. Somebody praying for this girl. And she didn't want to live that way anymore, and she wanted Jesus to forgive her, and she wanted to give her life to Jesus. And I reached my hand up to pray for her, lead her into salvation. And she said, just a second. And all of a sudden, she reached down and she took off her shoes. And she set them beside her. And she said, this is holy ground. Who taught that woman that? Where did she learn that? She didn't know the story. She didn't know she was supposed to do that. No one instructed her that it was appropriate. It was a natural response of her heart to the Spirit of God coming down. And for the first time in her life, she wanted to honor that holy presence of God by removing her shoes. Who causes that in the heart of a woman like that? It was the Spirit of Elijah. It was the Spirit of Isaiah and Moses and Elisha. The Spirit that was able to discern the times and the signs and to declare with unadulterated authority the Word of God to a generation and bring revival. The Spirit that filled Josiah and Hezekiah, that anointed the Word, that when it was read, just read, caused revival. That same Holy Spirit that longs to fill and anoint this church, me, our lives, every sermon preached, every song that's sung, every instrument that's played, every prayer that's prayed, and ready to fill every life that will ask. The power of the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant is the same power that came down on the day of Pentecost and the same one that longs to anoint His children and His church in this hour. The Bible says, and Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now that's not just a command. That's also a promise. Amen? To everyone in this room listening to the sound of my voice, God is saying to you right now, receive the Holy Spirit. Church, receive the Holy Spirit. Brother, receive the Holy Spirit. Sister, receive the Holy Spirit. Dad, mom, teenagers, children, sons, daughters, old, young, receive the Holy Spirit. There is no substitute. Would you stand with me this morning? Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent power of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Lift your hands up now. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent power of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, whether that has happened to you in the past in the sense of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. See, I'm not talking about have you had an experience. I'm saying today, are you filled with the Spirit? Is the Spirit of the prophets moving in you? Is there the deep awareness of the presence of God daily in your life? You know, we have somehow come to the idea of modern America that Religion is about meeting on Sunday mornings and having an exciting worship time. Well, that is what religion is about, but it's not what a relationship with Jesus is about.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's just as real to me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, even Saturday. Amen?
Yeah.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Is that sense of the presence of God real to you? You know, I grew up in the Church of God. I grew up around this. It's not new to me. My great-grandfather was a pioneer Church of God preacher. He was a Methodist that was baptized in the Holy Ghost in a cotton patch in Alabama. Can anything good come out of Alabama? Matthew and my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather back at the turn of the 20th century heard about these Pentecostals. And he saw how the religious community making fun of them. He said he got out in his cotton patch one day and he said, "Jesus, if this is real, I don't want to leave this cotton patch until you fill me." He said the fire of God came down on him. The next thing he knew, there was people looked from half a mile away and saw a cloud of dust over that cotton patch. As he shouted and rejoiced, filled with the Holy Ghost. For years, every time he preached, he would tell his testimony of receiving the baptism in a cotton patch. He was known as the Cotton Patch Preacher. I've never met him. He died long before I was ever thought in my mom and dad's eyes, but I knew him and I know him because we share the same spirit. I've never met Elijah, but I know him because we share the same spirit. I've never touched the hand of Paul, the apostle, but I know him because we share the same Holy Ghost. And God wants that sense of intimacy with Him. You see what God was doing in the prophets? He was saying, He found in the prophets men and women who were able to correctly represent Him to the nation, who would believe Him and would obey Him, and He poured out His Spirit upon them. But that was never God's full intention. His full intention was to do that for all of His people. Amen. That's what Joel was saying. There's coming a day after Messiah Emmanuel comes when the Spirit will no longer be reserved for special people and special times and special places for special purposes, but God will pour out His Spirit upon everyone. Everyone. From the least to the greatest, young, the old. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And they shall prophesy. They will testify of Jesus. For this is the spirit of prophecy. How many of you long for that? I was saved in a Church of God youth camp when I was 8 years old. And I lived for the next 14 years a defeated Christian life. Now that doesn't sound right, does it? Somebody asked me when I was born again. I said, well, I was born again in 1970. I was born again in 1971. I was born again in December of that same year. Born again. I mean, I got saved every Sunday night. Anytime somebody preached about the rapture, I got saved. Every revival. I was doing my best to live for God. And I was falling. Deeply aware of my own weaknesses. More aware of my weaknesses than I was the power of God. wanting to live for Jesus, wanting to believe. I remember as a young man going off to school, for the first time in my life, nobody was there saying, get up and go to church. And man, I didn't. The prodigal son had nothing on me. For 18 months or 2 years, I lived in this world. And I said, I tried that. It didn't work. I couldn't get it right. I couldn't live in victory. I couldn't overcome weaknesses and sins. I kept falling in the same place, struggling. And I said, this isn't working. Until one night, God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, get back to church. I got up, went back to church on that Sunday night. We had an evangelist from South Carolina in a black shiny suit preaching. And all I could hear when he was preaching is, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. I was the first one down to that altar call. And he waved that Bible in front of my face. He didn't touch me or nothing. The next thing I remember, I was on my back speaking in other tongues. And the power of God, the spirit of the prophets, filled my life. And instantly, in a moment, everything changed. Suddenly, I was clean. Suddenly, I was sanctified. Suddenly, I was had the power of God to not only live in victory, but to be a witness for Jesus. And I wonder how many Christians are in church. I'm not talking about nominal folks who are just there for sure. I mean, really love Jesus, but they're overcome with weakness. They don't have that power and the presence of God. I used to see my grandfather walk back and forth in the church on a Sunday night with his arms in the air, crying and saying, Jesus, you're more real to me than my right hand. And as a young boy, I thought, I don't even know what that means. But when the Holy Ghost came into my life, I knew Jesus was real. He was not only with me, he was in me. I knew him. And I wonder how many people live their Christian life without that sense. Is anybody here today say, I need to be filled with the Spirit? Would you lift your hand right now and say, I want this for me? Raise your hand. God bless you. I need this. I want this. I want everything Jesus has for me. Before we're dismissed today, I want you to stretch across these aisles. I want you to take hands with somebody. And I want you to pray with me that God would make us a prophetic community. That God would fill us with the spirit of the prophets. Somebody asked me recently, how can I hear God like Elijah? Let me tell you how. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And He reveals these things to us. Receive the Holy Spirit. Would you pray this prayer today? Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? God is willing, if you are willing. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Let the Spirit of the prophets come upon me. Let me have your burden, O God. Let me have your discernment and wisdom. God, let me have your power to do the ministry to which you've called me. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Bring us healing with your embrace. Show your power, make your presence known. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. breath of God.
Would you just lift those hands up now to the Lord?
From you.
Let's believe God to answer our prayer this morning.
Shine down on us with the light of truth. Spare our hearts and set our spirit free. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Bring us healing with your warm embrace. Show your power, make your presence known. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Breath of God, we need a touch from you. Shine down on us with the light of truth. Spare our hearts and set our spirit free. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place.